intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Roll up to episode 5 of the PC Invasion Podcast. I am your ringmaster, Peter Parrish. Hello. I'm joined by Paul Younger and his gallery of grotesques in Bridgewater.
Yay.
Does that work?
No. See, it's even worse because it's so hot here that people probably got their shirts off and I don't want to go out and even see that.
Ooh. Blimey. Now I have to think of one for you, Tim. What would your circus-related Isle of Man type...
I don't know.
Bear in mind, I've already used the grotesques line.
Well, over here, it'd probably be something like Sheep Tamer, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it would probably be quite hard to tame a sheep, thinking about it.
What if a sheep wanted to marry a cyborg, Tim? What then? Sorry, listeners, that only makes sense if you've seen a really bizarre image that Tim sent me earlier, pertaining to first gay marriage, later grasshoppers marrying cyborgs. Maybe I'll link to that image in the podcast summary, much like the Batman punching a schoolgirl from last week.
I do have this habit, don't I, of linking you really weird images right before we do a podcast.
Yeah, and then I feel compelled to talk about them and then contextualize them so that it's not just, left hanging, some kind of mystery.
I'd hoped, because we did talk about this a little bit before the podcast, so I'd sort of hoped that you'd go out of your system, but I guess when it comes to cyborg, grasshopper, and duck-donkey relations...
You know. That's not leaving me for a while. I'm going to be thinking about this for quite a while.
That worries me, Peter. How often do you usually spend about thinking about ducks French-kissing donkeys?
Fresh-kissing as well.
Yes, that too.
Not much, but now you've shown me that picture, so, it's in there, is it?
Occupying your thoughts.
As a thing, yeah. I'm very visually motivated, so...
Let's swiftly move on before this goes into a direction I don't think any of us wants it to go in.
Speaking of Batman French-kissing a grasshopper, that was a weird bug in the PC version. that's a lie, I made that up. Updating our Batman chat from last week, because when we recorded the podcast, Batman for the PC was still on sale. You could still buy it, but that is no longer the case, because it was so bad that Warner Brothers decided to enact some sort of crisis management, I suppose, and pull it from sale, so you can't buy... You can still buy the season pass on Steam, I've noticed, which is... marvellous, because obviously you want that, but you can't buy the game, and I think Green Man Gaming said, right, you can all have refunds if you want. Steam obviously are fine with refunds now, which is possibly why we've seen this happen. And yeah, so now you can't buy Batman anymore, so if you got in there early, you can still play it until they patch it up, but otherwise we'll just have to wait. When do you reckon they're going to have mended Batman by, Tim?
September.
You reckon? Putting money on September, okay.
No, honestly, that was just the first month that popped into my head.
That's not a bad guess, honestly. I'm trying to think, Unity's fourth or fifth patch took, a couple of months, so that's in the right kind of area, isn't it?
I don't know, I don't think it'd... Or at least I'd hope it wouldn't take that long, but I don't know. The weird thing about this is that I actually didn't think that the PC version was that bad. I mean, I'll clarify. It's an awful PC version, but it's not as bad as, for instance, Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
That's kind of the thing that confused me. This is far from the worst PC version I've seen in a long time, and...
I think for some people, though, Batman was continually crashing, which would make it as bad as Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But
I think over the course of the 20 hours or so I played it, I think it crashed twice. It did also crash every time I quit it, but that doesn't bother me so much.
That sometimes happens. That's just a weird thing that happens with games sometimes.
I can see that. If the game wants to unceremoniously close when I'm trying to close it, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, also, it wasn't one of the PC versions of Resident Evil 4 shipped without a lighting engine. I mean, that was... that's a pretty bad PC port, as things go.
That is tragic.
You know, Batman was only missing the ambient occlusion and some raindrop effects, which, yeah, while not great, is still better than missing an entire lighting engine. And they've brought those back. They've apparently patched those in, so you can have the raindrop effects now.
That wouldn't actually surprise me, because the first PC port of Resident Evil 4 was fucking shocking.
Maybe it was that one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that was just horrible. Yeah. That was pretty much as though they had just taken the GameCube code, or the PS2 code, and made it work on PC without actually making it PC-specific in any way, shape, or form.
Work, in inverted commas.
Yeah, it was something along the... It was just bloody awful. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you had to actually plug in a GameCube pad to get it to function.
Yeah.
It was that level of atrocity.
So... regarding when we're going to review Batman Arkham Knight.
John Batman's Arkham Knights.
John Batman's Arkham Knights. I to believe that we're holding off until people can actually buy it again at this point. We've kind of already flagged off the PC port of it.
Well, that's my thinking. I mean, I have finished the game at this point. I could theoretically review it. The problem is... if I review it now, I'm going to have to talk about the technical issues, and hopefully those technical issues won't be there, or at least not so bad, when it's actually on sale again. Mm. And therefore, if I review it now, that review will be out of date as soon as you can buy it.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying, because on the one hand, it's like, yeah, fuck them. Give them a 5 out of 10 for a shitty PC port. But on the other hand, if you can't buy that PC port anymore... that's,
yeah. It seems a little bit pointless.
Yeah.
So I think what we're waiting for is for the PC version to actually be re-released, at which point I will probably spend another evening with the game seeing how everything goes, and I'll start New Game Plus and piss around in that, so on and so forth. Then I'll review it off the basis of that.
John Batman's Arkham Knights HD re-release. Edition.
Yes. John Batman's Arkham Knights Championship Edition 2 Turbo Hyper Fighter.
That'd be good. I'd play that. Alright. Well, we'll come back to Batman in a bit in terms of like what it's like as a game, but we'll carry on with some news. And now, I don't know if you read my email, Paul, but...
What email?
Well, I know, I only sent it like half an hour ago, but... don't worry, it's not important. I'm excited to announce that we can legitimately talk about Star Citizen for a bit.
Oh, really? Do we have to? Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I saw your story saying that, like, the some part of it is delayed, and our words could not express my surprise at a portion of Star Citizen being delayed.
God!
Is this the first-person thing that was supposed to be out in March?
This is the first person thing that's supposed to be out, like, now.
What's the date? It's July almost, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, really, was it ever going to appear? I don't think anyone expected it to appear. I certainly didn't.
Well, they're trying to do a lot with a very limited amount of funding, I think, is the problem. Maybe they need to do a Double Fine adventure and ask for more money.
They need to expand their staff, I think. I don't think they have enough studios and people... working on this game.
This isn't great news. It's not exactly inspiring confidence. Today's actually probably one of the first times that I've seen comments from people going, hang on, wait a minute, you're selling these really expensive ships to fund development, and you have 84 million, and your budget for this is what, if you split it up, because they say it's 15% of their resources.
Okay,
so that's like $12 million to create a shooter.
All right, that's quite a tasty sum. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you'd bloody think so, wouldn't you? The problem with this is they've released this arena commander module, which we've all been pissing about in for months now.
Wait, is that really good? Is that actually, I know it's partly just a showcase for here's what your ships look like and stuff.
Well, yeah, and the flight model and the matchmaking and all that kind of stuff. But what seems to happen as the project seems to go on, they start going, ooh, we can do this. And, ooh, shit, no, we're going to have to go back and retrospectively change the code, like net code and stuff, so that it can work on all these other things that we said that we were going to do. So there seems to be a lot of back and forward with regards to the way all their systems are going to interlock and work with each other, which is kind of fine, but it kind of screams of, oh, yeah, well, we haven't really planned this particularly well.
There's no way right at the start that they were thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to have a first-person shooter thing. You know, that was that's a pick in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I love this name, Raptor Jesus, in our comments quite says, basically, you know, I paid for a sort of Wing Commander space-type experience, and I don't really give a shit about an FPS module. So, as he says, so what the fuck is the first person bullshit, quote? he has a point, actually, because this was pitched as a sort of space epic. I didn't actually buy in. I, as a backer myself, I didn't buy into this to get another bloody shooter. I mean, it's kind of the last thing I'm interested in.
It's going to be a Rainbow Six-style shooter on a spaceship.
Okay, so I'll just go and play Rainbow Six. I actually think all the goodwill that they've built up over the months is slowly going to start slipping away. And the crazy thing is, but they're continuously asking for money. I mean, I looked at one of the ships today, and they're like, you know, $300-$400 for like concept ships, and it's like, you're either, and I'll say this bluntly, fucking stupid to shell out that kind of money on something that doesn't exist. And B, you haven't even got a proper game.
One of them recently was just like a space bus. It seemed like it was Euro Bus Simulator, but you know, it was still like $300 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's
chance to be the space bus driver.
Oh, look, I'm going to ship these people from this system to this system, and that'll be exciting.
I mean, that could be all right as like a side mission, but I don't think I want to spend several hundred dollars on that.
Yeah, so I'm not impressed with the way this is going right now. And, you know, as much as he says in his comments, like, oh, you know, thanks, guys, we're making it happen. Only you can make this happen without a big publisher. Yeah, okay, that's really kind of worn thin now. And I'm sure I'm hoping it will be a great game in about 2 or 3 years' time. But
maybe we'll look back and go, oh, I remember when we were worried and complaining.
We needed a bot. The thing is, we shouldn't be worried about it because he has so much money. But
I don't know, that does worry me about projects, though, when they start having too much money. And exactly this sort of thing starts happening, where they start broadening the scope in weird ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a classic case of feature creep, isn't it? All of a sudden, you know, next we'll be having the sort of Pokemon edition and, you know, whatever.
I think there should be like a sort of colony management game in the style of or SimCity, you know, something like
that. Perhaps, why don't add some RTS elements?
Yeah, why not?
So, yeah, I wasn't pleased to see that update. It's kind of disheartening, and, you know, I kind of haven't touched the game for quite a while because I'm getting a bit sort of fed up with the whole, this is delayed because this code doesn't work and blah. Like, we don't really care. You know, we've paid for something, and at this point, 2 years down the line or whatever it is now, you kind of expect to have something a little bit more than a freaking dogfighting module. I mean, I've been playing bloody Vector Thrust, and I can go and do dogfighting in that, and that's 11 quid. So, what the hell? I don't know. I think it's
in Elite, which, you know, actually came out and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean,
I think they're adding like a dedicated multiplayer, just dogfighting type mode to that game as well.
Yeah, so maybe they'll put an FPS module in and actually release it.
Maybe they will. Dangerous. That'll be okay, because in the meantime, you can play Elite.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the actual game.
What they should have done, in my opinion on this, is, one, because we know that they can make a good single-player game. We know that from stuff like Star Lancer and so on. It's the same team that are working on this, the single Squadron 42 that worked on Star Lancer here in the UK, which was Warthog, I think, at the time for Star Lancer. So we know that they can do it. They should actually have focused getting that done so people could at least see how the game was going to look, the universe was going to feel, the ships were going to fly. But that's, that's imminent. But the FPS module, they wanted to get out first. I don't know why, because people didn't buy into this to play a shooter. So yeah, I think it's just a bad decision.
That seems like weird timing structurally. Yeah, why suddenly shunt this one up to the front of the queue? Is it closer to being finished? So they're like, look, we've got something else out. Ta-da.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, not good news. Not good news.
Yeah, I don't want to worry you, but I read an old interview with Chris Roberts where he talked about when he was doing the Wing Commander film, and basically was talking about how the scope kind of got away from him and he took on too many different things and stuff. And I'm reading this thinking, oh shit.
Yeah. I think he's, well, it's kind of falling into Molyneux territory, isn't it, at the moment?
Well, it was when I heard them talking about, like, oh yeah, you can hide away on some cargo on a planet and then be stowed away on someone's ship and then pop out and do some FPS and take
great.
The ship and then fly the ship away in the ship.
So that's brilliant. Yeah, I'm going to sit in a fucking crate for 4 hours while someone flies me across the universe in a crate.
I mean, I don't know. It seemed dubious.
That sounds like you've online, actually.
Yeah, that already exists.
I wish to take umbrage with something you just said, actually. You just implied that the Wing Commander film was bad.
Chris Roberts implied that it was bad by saying he took on too much.
It's one of the greatest comedies ever made.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think I've seen...
They can stand alongside The Worst Witch and Hercules in New York.
Now, The Worst Witch and Hercules in New York I have seen. I don't think I've seen the Wing Commander film. Maybe I should.
There's some homework for a weekend.
Complete the trifecta. speaking of bad FMV, I want to sneak in quickly that Night Dive Studios, doing the Lord's work, have dug up Terra Nova and put that on GOG. Which
I missed this.
Yeah, it happened last week. I completely missed this happening. I don't know if they didn't really talk about it much or what, but...
I saw no press releases and it didn't turn up on Steam, which, I sadly, I don't check GOG every single day. I did used to. And these days I mostly check it every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't checked for a little while.
So this is good news, because it was a while ago when I last tried to play Terra Nova, but it didn't play very nicely with modern operating systems, so hopefully this does so.
It was a complete pain in the ass even getting it working with DOSBox, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, which I assume, that's what the GOG systems are, isn't it? That they sort of are bundled in with DOSBox, but with a bunch of presets so that it loads properly or something.
Possibly. I don't know. I've got to say, actually, DOSBox is an amazing thing, and I'm so happy that someone made it. Prior to DOSBox coming out, I used to sort of do some bits and pieces on one of the abandonware sites. And this was back before GOG as well, obviously. As GOG has pretty much made those things redundant as it starts to get more and more licenses and actually make these pieces of history available again, which I'm genuinely happy about, because I'm very worried that lots of games are going to just sort of slip between the cracks and be forever forgotten, which isn't something that happens with films. But yeah, prior to DOSBox coming out, I used to have to actually get decade-old games working on sort of Windows 98 when they were for relatively early versions of DOS, and it was a complete nightmare. There were usually ways and means of doing it, but DOSBox made everything so much easier. Tech support just became, just open up DOSBox, it'll work.
And maybe change, like, two settings, and it'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. It's a very, very good little program.
How much is Terran over on GOG, actually?
I forget.
I'm going to go and look. Because I want Terran over, man.
It wasn't that much.
$5.99.
Yeah, it was
$6.
Impulse purchase range.
Yeah, I might have to actually pick that up and play that again. Because that is a wonderful game.
For those who don't know, that is a Looking Glass Studios title. In which you watch some bad FMV and then control. You're sort of a mech, not quite a mech. You're kind of like a person in powered armor with a jump pack, effectively.
Yeah.
It's
sort of a tactical shooter, I guess you could say. Yeah.
And you have like fairly open levels, so you can approach your objectives from slightly different areas and different ways and stuff. But it'll be like, right, go take out these pirates over here, and then go escort this convoy over here or something, and then oh no, but now you're being attacked over here instead. Quickly go over here, command your squad, use your jetpack.
It's a tactical shooter, but it's not quite so focused on hard tactics or something like Rainbow Six or Ghost Recon or anything like that. It's a lot more shootery than that.
Command your squad, but I seem to recall that they're fairly basic. Hey, you go and shoot some things type commands. Rather than
it was an excellent game. Lots and lots of all sorts of varied weapons and loadouts and all sorts of stuff you could do and different ways you could approach the missions and it was a lovely game.
Yep. Well, I guess speaking of older games that are coming back, there's also various battle zones being remade.
Yes.
This is going to get so confusing.
Yeah. They're remaking Battlezone and... I say they. It's Rebellion. Are they doing both? They're remaking Battlezone and they're remaking Battlezone.
Yeah. Rebellion are remaking both Battlezone and Battlezone. It's going to get to the point. They're going to send us a press release with our new screenshots and they're not going to tell us which Battlezone they're talking about.
You have to guess. Is it the original Vector Type 1 or is it the later, RTS... third person hybrids type one?
First person.
That's right, yeah, sorry.
They're both first person. It's just that one of them had RTS elements and base building and all that stuff, and the other one had you shooting tanks. In fairness, they said they were remastering 1998 Battlezone, which makes me think that it will actually still be pretty recognisable as that particular game.
That was going to be my question, actually, what they said they were doing with it. But you kind
the,
of
the exact words. I'll go and find the email actually, because they said very little about it whatsoever. If we can just find filler for a second.
Filling.
In the meantime, I can ask you, Paul, about the first battle zone. So what are they doing with that one?
Oh, I thought they're just remaking it.
Okay. That was easy.
Booting the first battle zone, they're adding virtual reality support, which kind of takes it back to its roots, because Battlezone first was released in the arcades with kind of a little periscope viewfinder. That's quite nice. The exact words they said, it was a sort of big long letter about how people have been asking, They're very fond of the 1998 and 1999 Battlezone games, and they're wondering about this. The actual announcement says, and I quote, "We're very pleased to reveal that we're also working on a remaster of the 1998 Battlezone for PC."
Okay.
That's it. That is literally everything we know.
It's a remaster. Okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm going to assume higher resolutions for a start.
I'm wondering whether they're going to... I'm wondering what use of the word remaster they're meaning, because that's still kind of a nebulous term.
Yeah.
Might be they're using the original base code, but completely redoing all of the visuals, or... I don't know.
It would kind of seem weird. Well, it'd be disappointing if they didn't do the visuals, if they were already creating the visuals for a remake of the original.
Yeah, I'd like to see... as much as possible done to it, I guess, to bring it up to date.
Yeah. I mean, this is another thing, sort of like Terra Nova. It's something I'm really happy to see, because 1998 Battlezone was actually a game I thought everybody had forgotten about.
Oh, like, that's brilliant, that game. It's superb.
Yes, it is. I actually, but shit, Paul, are we agreeing on something?
we are agreeing on something for once.
Oh, does that mean I should be like, no, I played it, it was wank? Oh.
Yeah.
No, I played it and it was pretty good. Sorry to disappoint you.
It was really weird from what I can remember. Like, it took me a while to get my head around doing an RTS in first person.
It was definitely very strange and unusual, even at the time when, you know, it was that kind of era where it felt like a lot of games were doing weird and strange things, so it didn't stand out as much, but
yeah, I mean,
even
this,
there it was like, no, this is a little bit odd.
I realise where sort of this is a distance of about 2 years between the games, but Sacrifice kind of tried to do something a bit similar in terms of being an action RTS game. I mean, that was 2 years later, but there were a few games of that ilk around that time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was weird. It was something genuinely new and unusual, and that hasn't really been done so much since.
I can't really think of anything else that used the same kind of combo of mechanics. Really, there's probably something.
There are a few things. There are a few games that have done similar. There was, what was it called? Soldiers, Heroes of World War II. But that wasn't a first-person shooter. That was just an RTS that gave you direct control of the troops. If you wanted to. And there are things like Natural Selection, where one player is playing an RTS while the rest are playing a first-person shooter.
I suppose Brutal Legend is in similar-ish territory.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good comparison.
Not first person, obviously, but
no, but it was the same thing in that you were kind of doing RTS gubbins while directly controlling one character on the battlefield.
Yeah, and then nobody really liked it in Brutal Legend, unfortunately.
Part of that, I think, was because it was a little bit too fiddly, and part of it was probably because they hid the RTS segments until pretty much the game's launch, really is the crux of the game.
That was weird.
Yeah, they sort of made it seem like a third-person hack-and-slash game, and it totally isn't. It's an RTS.
You're hacking and slashing, but you're also commanding units most of the time.
I wonder if Brutal Legend would have been received a lot better if they'd actually come out early on and said, no, look, it's actually got a lot of RTS stuff in it, but I'm guessing that... I'm going to take a wild guess that EA figured that probably wouldn't sell as well.
Well, that was the game that... It was Activision publishing it for a while, wasn't it? And then,
yes.
And then they went, nah, that's not for us anymore. Anyway, let's get out of this cul-de-sac of gaming history. Get more up-to-date with stuff we have played more recently. I'm going to start with you, Paul, because you mentioned...
No, hang on a minute. You can't just skirt over the fact that you'd written Metal Gear Solid meanwhile.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And then you totally... mail us that and then totally ignore it.
I was about to bring this up as well.
Holding me to account. I like it. Nice. Go on, then. This is a new story I wrote, so maybe I should talk about it, but... Alright, Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain, this makes a nice contrast to the Batman stuff, really. One of the guys from Konami, or from Kojima Productions, actually, I think, more to the point, wrote a post on the Steam...
On some words.
Yes, threw some words at the Steam Community Hub. Basically going, hey, PC people, what kind of stuff would you like to see in the PC release? Because, you know, Ground Zeroes was pretty well received, but if there's other things that you would like, then toss them our way, and I will try to say, yes, we'll try to do that, or no, we can't do that because of this reason.
That's really good.
Just really, yeah, very good to see. The fact that Ground Zeroes was a really good PC version, give or take the odd issue, makes me fairly confident that Metal Gear Solid 5 proper is should be all right.
So if, did you put your request in for cyborg cats that can get airlifted out by balloons?
I don't think I need to. I think that's probably going to be in.
Did you put in your request for them to scrap Metal Gear Solid 5 and just make Alpha Protocol 2 instead?
I didn't do that. No, I'm fine with them. You know, it's not an isolated situation. I want to see Metal Gear Solid 5. It looks really good.
If Metal Gear Solid 5 came out with the same PC options and the same optimization as Ground Zeroes, I don't think I'd be complaining.
Me,
Ground Zeroes was a really good port.
I think there's a couple of things like, did it not have full mouse support in the menus or something? I don't know. Or full mouse control over some... There was a few mini bits and pieces that people were writing in this thread for like, oh, can we have this for the next one? Which seems fine because it seems very doable, that sort of thing. I know, it was. It was a very, seemingly very well optimized, pretty great on the options front.
The thing that's weirding me out about this a bit is that this is a Japanese game that historically hasn't had much impact on PC. I mean, I know Metal Gear Solid came out on PC, I think Metal Gear Solid 2 did as well.
That's a long time ago, though, isn't it? We're going back.
Yeah,
going back
exactly. This isn't a team. I don't know who's doing the PC version, actually, whether it is internal or not. But, you know, this isn't something that's very PC-focused. And normally when we get ports of Japanese games onto PC, they're a little bit iffy, or a lot iffy.
They're usually pretty bare bones, yeah.
And Ground Zeroes kind of broke with that and was really surprising and great. And now actually coming to the community to ask, what else do you want? That's unprecedented.
Yeah, it's really nice. I think one of the other things was separating the... being able to, like, tone down the depth of field or separating the depth of field from the anti-aliasing option or something like that. Which, again, is something they can probably do.
More tweakables.
Sorry?
More tweakables.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't the one option in Ground Zeroes that was really weird that just sent you to a screen with, like, one option on that was completely pointless, like, which I can't remember what it was, but I remember that part of our port impressions.
That sounds like the sort of thing I would have taken notice of and roundly mocked.
Yeah. It was like they just hid one aspect of the keyboard controls away on a lone screen somewhere else.
I've got a feeling it was something to do with the control options, and it was...
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this up now.
Anyway, that's good. More developers doing that would be very welcome. You know, if the Batman people maybe had come out beforehand and gone, do you want it to be like a broken mess, or would you? We're looking at our graphics options, right? And we've got anti-aliasing and resolution. Do you want any more than that, or are we about done here?
Yeah. Well, yeah, what do we have? What was the best thing in Batman? Was it normal and something else?
Oh, that was
standard.
I was actually wrong about that. I'd been misled by the internet, but it was close. The textures just had normal and low, so there was no like high textures or ultra textures or anything.
I think they're
just upright, I suppose. But...
I've got a vague impression they're actually going to patch those in. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It was just bits and pieces like. When they came out with that all that information about how to make the game not run terribly on your PC, they basically said, "Oh yeah, we haven't actually done the testing for our, you know, here's the options you should have if you're a minimum spec computer. Here's the options you should have for a recommended spec computer, and we haven't actually tested the options you should have if you've got the ultra spec computer."
I kind of took issue with that advice, because firstly it was implying that people who couldn't play the game hadn't tried turning some options down, which was kind of rude. And secondly, like, for minimum specs they were going, right, run it at 720p with everything turned off, but the minimum spec PC for this game is like twice as powerful as an Xbox One.
the weird thing is that my computer is about halfway between the minimum and the recommended specs, and I've been running it at higher than what they were recommending for the recommended specs.
You just won the Batman lottery, Tim.
Also, we're right about the submenu. It was the game settings menu, which had reflex mode on off.
That's it, yeah.
Which was the thing that puts everything in slow motion when you get spotted by an enemy.
Yeah, which is a fine thing to have as an option, but probably didn't need its own screen.
Yeah, definitely an option, but maybe think of another screen to put it in or add something else to the game settings menu.
Yeah, anyway. All right. Have I covered Metal Gear Solid 5 to everyone's satisfaction now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, there's something else, because I read something about it. Because, you know, you can have a zoo, right, back at your mother base. By ballooning the animals back there, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is the feature that everyone knows about. We don't give a shit about how Naked Snake stroke Big Boss's story ends. We just want a zoo.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So, I was reading something else where it said, okay, yeah, for the larger animals, you obviously use the Fulton thing to send them back. The line that I read was, for smaller animals, such as rats, Snake will put them in his pockets. So, yeah, never mind all this, like, Afghanistan stealth nonsense. I want to just go around putting rats in my pockets.
This is slightly worrying, because Metal Gear Solid 3, you had to had sort of a system where to regain your stamina, you had to actually eat stuff, which meant that that you're going to be catching these rats, and then Snake's going to go, oh, I'm a bit peckish, actually.
Well, snakes traditionally do like to eat rodents, so...
Yeah. Possibly not a lot of the other stuff he ate in Metal Gear Solid 3, though.
Yeah.
God, so, Metal Gear Solid 3 has some really weird shit in it. Like, they tried to make it more realistic. Like, if you got injured, then I think you had to actually apply bandages to the area that got injured or something.
Right.
Which is very realistic, except for the fact that you pause the game to do this. So you do it in the middle of a firefight. When you're standing out in the open and people shooting at you, it's like, oh, I've got an injury, time to pause the game, go into the menu, attach a splint to my leg.
Maybe you could use the rats as splints, I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe, yeah. Anyway, so I'm excited about that, because that sounds like a good feature. I know we were complaining about feature creep in Star Citizen, but if they want to add, you can add, put rats in your pockets in the first person module, that's fine by me.
If the next stretch goal for Star Citizen is that you get a zoo on your ship.
You can fly to planet,
you can abduct animals with a tractor beam.
Seriously, just don't give them any more ideas. Really.
Come on, Zoo Tycoon in space. Chris Roberts, it makes sense.
Seriously, if they added that, I would consider backing the game.
I'm more interested in that than a first-person section, and I'm entirely serious about that.
Well, they've got Star Citizen, they've got Star Marine, so they just have to add Star Zoo, and then that's it.
Yep.
Marvellous. All right, Paul, Vector Thrust.
Please don't get me started on Vector Thrust.
Well, it works now, doesn't it? Or does it not again?
Oh, what's... God.
Isn't that sort of the point of this section of the podcast, that we get... started on talking about games?
Okay, right. First of all, I don't have the final release version, right? So all the things that I'm now going to tell you will probably be fixed. Oh my God, I hope they are. So eventually I got it going last night I couldn't download it for 3 days for some reason. And then all of a sudden I managed to get it updated. So I went into the sort of development build. And... I found out that as soon as I launched my first mission, that for some reason I got stuck completely on the outside camera view, which would then automatically rotate to the front of my aircraft. So I'd be trying to fly my mission looking at the aircraft from the front and have no access to the cockpit control at all. So I thought, okay, well, this isn't right. So I was right, I unhooked my joystick and ta-da, it worked. So the joystick, which I'm using, which is a Cytec X52, basically sent the game tits. So that wasn't good. So anyway, that was great. So I got out and I thought, oh yes, I'm going to go and get some missions done and blah, blah, blah. So hopped in, mission one, taking off. Fine, no problem. Mm-hmm. Mission two, where there's actually some enemies that are shooting at you, that was slightly more of a problem because none of my flares would work. So I thought, right, so I've got missile messages, incoming missile, I'm like, oh, right. God, balls, here we go, I've got to put some countermeasures up.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, okay, what are the keys for those? Well, they're unbound in the options for some odd reason. So I went into the options and I bound two keys to the flare and so on. Only to go back into the game to find out that the keys that I just bound actually don't bind at all, even though they say they have. So I could fly for, like, I don't know, maybe about 3 minutes into the mission, just trying to dodge missiles by some expert top gun type flying.
Yeah.
But that just really wasn't good enough. I'd literally just get blown out of the sky after a couple of minutes or so.
That's not going to keep you alive for long, is it? Let's face it.
No. So I kind of gave up. Which was kind of like really, really frustrating because I actually think I quite enjoy this.
If you could use your flares, they might actually be quite good.
Yeah, and not having countermeasures is just not good in a sort of air combat. So what I've played of it so far, I've quite enjoyed, but it's been so brief. I mean, I tried some of the multiplayer last night. Same problem. You know, I'm shooting, just darting around the sort of map in the mission area, and people are just going, oh, look at that idiot. I'll just shoot some missiles at him. He can't do anything.
Did that seem to be a problem for other people, like if you fire missiles at them?
Well, I have, you know what, I have tried looking up to see if anyone else has had this problem, and I can't see it anywhere.
Oh, weird.
So, I don't know, it's just something weird, either weird with my setup. Or...
So, unplugging the joystick solved the first problem. Maybe try unplugging the keyboard now, and then unplugging the mouse.
Well, do you know what was really weird? At one point, I think this was when the joystick might have been plugged in, even though I could move the view, like the cockpit view, sort of look about view by moving my mouse, as soon as I took my hand off the mouse, it would immediately flip back to look out the left-hand side of my window at the wing. So,
your pilot's just really into looking out the left-hand window.
I know. So, anyway, I had to stop. I couldn't. I thought, well, I'll do a PC Invasion Plays video, and I can sort of go through some of this. But oh my god, I could never film this. It would just make me look like such an incompetent fool. So, that went out the window. That was supposed to be for today. It was supposed to go up on the site, but I had to give up about 3 a.m. I just had enough.
We should call those PC Invasion Invision.
Yeah, but I mean, having said that, I am playing the experimental build, and the final release isn't out till Thursday. So, from what I've seen of the potential of it, it looks quite fun if you're into sort of combat, flight sim stuff. But I can't really comment on it right now until it actually works.
How much single player do you think it has? Like, what's the balance there between the multiplayer and?
There's quite a lot of them. There's like main missions, and there's like sort of campaign missions, which are sort of scenarios.
Okay, so yeah.
I mean, it comes with a full map editor as well, and you can create your own missions and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So there's lots of scope there. I don't think it's that expensive either. So there's plenty in there. It's just not being able to play it properly is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, indeed. Sorry, I'm eating a cracker. My mouth's all dry now. Tim,
that's what she said.
Talk about what? Talk about John Batman, Tim. Is it good? Is there too much Batmobile? That's what I keep hearing. There's too much Batmobile.
There's maybe a bit too much Batmobile. There's it's good. We'll start with that. It's a lot better than Arkham Origins. Insofar as this isn't just Arkham City again.
Hooray! Yeah.
It's good. It's not wonderful. It's not fantastic, but it's decently solid, and it is a really fitting end to the Arkham series that Rocksteady have done.
Is it kind of running into the point where it's like, yes, this is a very polished version of that type of game that you have perfected making, but now we're into the zone where it's a bit similar to the other ones, so it can't really wow me as much?
I think you'd have difficulty calling the PC version of this polished.
Well, you know what I mean. In theory, assuming it was working.
Yeah, it does kind of hit on that issue. It did rarely... You're right in that it rarely wowed me. Barring some of the story sections, particularly... Obviously, I can't go into detail, but particularly the ending, which I thought was fantastic. That was original and clever and really, really well done. Bits and pieces like that actually did wow me quite a lot. The actual gameplay itself, not so much, because at this point it's hugely familiar, because I've done it before a lot. That's not to say I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was very rare for me to actually be playing the game and thinking I'm not actually enjoying what I'm doing right now. There were one or two occasions with that when I was kind of trying to complete side quests and it doesn't tend to give you the locations for them. It just says, you've got two more checkpoints to find on this island. And so I'm just driving or flying around that island going, where is it?
Can't you call up the Bat computer and be like, hey, Bat computer, tell me where things are?
No, but you will occasionally. You'll get intel, like Alfred will call you up and say, Master Bruce, there's a checkpoint over on the south side of this, or you'll hear a police intercept where they've spotted one of them from their helicopter or something like that. So it does throw you a lifeline. Mm-hmm. But it's not great if you're just trying to sort of do these things without any meandering about. It's yet another minor evolution of the system that they started off in Arkham Asylum. You still punch people and counter stuff, and then there are the enemies you have to capestun or jump over before you can hurt them. You've still got the predator bits where you're swooping from gargoyle to gargoyle and occasionally hopping down to beat people up from behind without getting spotted. Only now you've also got Batmobile bits where you play Battlezone.
Hooray! Battlezone has been remastered, everyone. And Batman's in it.
I like the way they handled the Batmobile combat stuff, in that you hold down the right mouse button to put the Batmobile into combat mode, where it basically turns into a tank that has full 360 degrees of movement, and you kind of see traces of, sort of like, oddly enough, sort of like what you've been playing, Ronin. You can see where the shots are going to go. Move out of the way. It works quite nicely. It's really, really good the first few times you do it, and then it gets a bit boring after hour 18. I don't like how segmented the game is, which is something... I can't remember how bad this was in Arkham City, actually. But with this, it does... Rather than everything feeling like it sort of has a natural progression and flow, which is what Arkham Asylum did, because that was primarily quite story-led.
It would get you off from quite a few areas until you needed to go there.
Yeah, with this you've just kind of got a wheel of progression, essentially. With all of your side missions on it. It's like, okay, do you want to go and do a Predator mission, or do you want to punch some people, or do you want to do some Batmobile combat? And you just kind of pick from a list of what you want to do, unless you're doing a story mission. And that does feel a little bit too broken up and not particularly organic, which is kind of disappointing, because, as I say, I thought that Arkham Asylum handled that really well.
Arkham City, I mostly remember gliding over to, like, the next story point and basically, like, 8 different side quests assailing me on the way there, going, you've got to rescue this prisoner and you've got to answer this phone and we should go and do this challenge thing over here and maybe you should do this as well.
It doesn't actually do that so much. It doesn't have any of the kind of random events that Arkham City did. There's a prisoner here who's being attacked. It doesn't do that. It's all side quests. Unless, you know, you're just walking around the streets, in which case people go, it's Batman, let's beat him up.
I assume these are criminals saying this, not just...
Yeah, actually, that's possibly worth noting. Unlike Arkham Origins, which had a really flimsy excuse for there being no civilians on the streets, which was something like, oh, there's a lot of criminals about, everyone had better stay indoors.
It's cold. It's just don't care.
This starts off with sort of Scarecrow launching a terror gas attack on the city and basically threatening that he's going to do much, much worse soon. And so the city is evacuated. And by and large, the only people remaining in the city are criminals and the police and a few sort of hapless others. Like one of the side missions is this this squad of firefighters. Their fire engine was attacked and they were all dragged off and they're being beaten up by gang members and you need to go and save them all. But yeah, it doesn't really do the Arkham City style random events. It's all very structured. As I say, I don't like that so much. That feels like a bit of a step back.
I'm wondering if that was to counter the complaints that you were just getting like nagged continually by side quests in Arkham City.
Yeah, probably.
So they wanted you to choose what you want to do yourself on your own time, but then that has the knock-on effect of exactly what you've said, feeling a bit like, well, what's my impetus here?
You will still sort of randomly come across those side quests, or of them, anyway. Bits and pieces like the checkpoints around the city, or the watchtowers, or even the firefighters themselves. You might just sort of discover where one of them is when you're flying around to do something else. But yeah, it is nonetheless, it's very fixed in terms of what there is to do. And it does very much feel like choosing which particular element of gameplay you want to have a go at, rather than something more organic.
Which isn't terrible. I mean, that's kind of a good thing, but yeah, I see how...
It's a trade-off, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of it functions. Well, okay, that's a really bad word to use for the PC.
The mechanics function.
Yes. Yeah, it's a. I'm having real difficulty finding adjectives to use.
Let's just assume you're talking about this separate from the functionality of the PC version, which somehow worked all right for you.
It's a really solid, reliable game, except the PC version.
Housed inside a crumbling edifice.
Yeah, it has some new twists on the combat as well, inevitably. You've got some new gadgets, which, ironically enough, actually might make it a little bit too easy. I died very few times, and part of this might just be that I've gotten a lot better, but, you know, I quite like those the little death cutscenes you get. I didn't get to see too many of them, because I didn't die that much. Yeah, you do get some fun gadgets like the voice synthesizer, which lets you order the guards around if they've got headsets on. But again,
makes auto tune for Batman.
Again, it makes it a little bit too easy. It's like, okay, there's a guard there. Let's give him an order to walk around the corner away from his mates, and then I'll just drop down on top of him. Or this guard's got a drone that'll spot me. I'll just hack the controls to it and then use it to electrocute three of his friends. It makes it a little bit too simple, with the exception of a few really hard predator sections, which wind up being more like puzzles than anything, because there are huge sentry gun turrets sat there, and it's a big open area, and there's very little you can do unless you figure out the way of doing it.
This is a no-go area. Do not approach this place.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, I mean, it's, much as I'm being kind of down on it, that's possibly just because it's not, it doesn't feel as special as Arkham City did, which I think is still the best of the series.
I like Asylum best. Well, I haven't played Origins. I feel like Origins probably won't supersede the others in my
estimates. No. Origins was kind of a Me Too game. It didn't really add anything new. It was okay. It was just sort of the same thing again and done worse. Whereas this can stand happily alongside Asylum and City. But yeah, I don't think it's as good. It's kind of hard for me to separate how much of that is just that it's not new and shiny.
Yeah, I mean, that happens when you're 3, or in this case 4, technically deep into a series.
Yeah. I mean, there are lots of examples of that. Look at the Assassin's Creed series. If Assassin's Creed Rogue had been the next one after Assassin's Creed 2 and there had been a 7 or 8 year gap between them, then yeah. that would have been amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
But as it is, it's just competent. And that's kind of damning it with faint praise, because I do think that Arkham Knight is better than competent. It is a good game. If the PC version is fixed up, it is probably worth picking up and playing if you like the Batman Arkham games, because it's really good. But nonetheless, it does have a few problems of its own, which are separate from the slightly bigger technical issues that the PC version has.
Yeah.
I also don't like the fact that to get the proper ending, you need 100% completion.
Does that mean doing all of Riddler's bullshit?
Yes.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off, Riddler.
Yeah, I did. Actually, the thing with Riddler is ridiculous, and this is... Okay, I'm going to go into very minor spoiler territory for one of the side quests here, so skip ahead about a minute if you don't want to hear it. But you have... Riddler has a very specific set of side quests as well as all of the trophies, which he's basically kidnapped Catwoman.
Okay.
And to free her, you need to go and do these very specific trials that he's set aside for you.
Right.
And you do all of those and free Catwoman, and then Riddler stomps in this giant mech suit.
Okay.
And you sort of fight him for a little bit, and then he goes, "No, you know what? No, you don't deserve to fight me. I'm going to hide underground until you find all of my trophies and solve all of my riddles and prove you're worthy of fighting me." And then he just goes and sort of sulks. I finished every single side quest except for the Riddler one, because I haven't found all of the trophies and solved all of the riddles, because that never really interested me in these games.
Well, Arkham City had like about 200, and then in New Game Plus there were like another 100 or something, and it's just like, nah.
I just kind of, I can't be bothered. I don't mind, sort of, if I'm flying around and I see a Riddler challenge, I'll do it, and I'll probably enjoy it, but I don't like actively going around and hunting all 150 of the bloody things.
Yeah, once you're basically at the end of the game, and it's like, do I really want to track down the other 30% of these that I haven't naturally done? Not really.
Yeah. Fortunately, there's YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you just watched the proper ending?
Yes, I did absolutely everything except for the Riddler trophies, and then I went, fuck this, and went on YouTube.
Fair enough, yeah.
I think that's fair.
It's a lot better for your sanity overall, probably.
Pretty much. It's good. Has problems. Doesn't use some of the villains as well as it could. Story is perhaps not quite as twisty and surprising as Arkham City. And the Arkham Knight is frankly a bit rubbish. But all of that aside, it's great.
Alright. As you mentioned sneakily as part of that little discussion of Batman, I have been playing a game called Ronin, which I've reviewed, and the review is up on PC Invasion right now if you want to go and read that, but I'll talk about it as well, just to flesh that out a bit. You played this as well, Tim, I think, because you had an early access version of it.
I did.
As far as I know, I have played the what will be today's release version, either that or a very close beta to that. This game's alright as well. It has pretty clear inspirations. It's got quite a bit of Gunpoint, a little bit of Mark of the Ninja. I would argue a little bit of Hotline Miami as well, probably more aesthetically than anything else.
So, Peter,
yes.
Explain how this game works.
Oh my god. this is one of those games where when you're playing it, it's pretty straightforward, but to describe it in text or with my mouth is harder, but I'll try. You're a motorcycle helmeted vigilante samurai ninja lady. Very, very minimal plot. It basically is like, go kill these five people because they've wronged you in your life somewhere. The implication is that they, like, betrayed your father or something, I think. That's, but it's very vague and sketchy, and effectively it's an excuse to
Peter,
do a bunch of levels killing people. What?
Peter, I asked you to describe how the game plays.
I'm getting to that.
In one sentence, and so far you've spent six talking about what?
It's important to establish the basics. The basics are, you know, because you've got to know that you're a ninja samurai type person before I... All right, so mechanics, right? It's a little bit real-time, where you can just run around using WASD, but mostly it's turn-based-ish. When action starts happening, like when you're seen by a guard, mostly is the reason for this, everything pauses, and you can then plan out where you want to jump to, or an action to execute, such as like leaving a decoy drone or something like that. And once you've done that, the turn sort of plays out. Oh my god.
Basically,
this is difficult, Tim.
It's turn-based. You can see what the opponents are going to do, what the guards are going to do. You can see where their bullets are going to go, where they are going to attack. And on your turn, you basically need to maneuver yourself out of that and hopefully into an advantageous position to where you can attack them safely on the next turn.
Yes. Wow, that was good. You've been practicing. Yeah, making sure that you're outside of the trajectory of the bullet, because they're about to fire that bullet. So if you're in its way at the end of your turn, you will get shot. Later on you get guards with like automatic weapons as well, and then you can't even jump through their gunshots because they're firing continuously, so that adds another whole aspect to that.
Yes, it is. It is one hit death as well.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's the checkpoints are pretty generous. You generally will start again in the same area or just outside the room that you went in and got killed in. Basically,
there was in the early access version. There was one point where the checkpoint sent me back much further than I imagined, but it turned out that was because I'd gone about the level in a way that the designer apparently didn't expect, because I'd done half of the level before I was meant to.
I didn't run into that. I'm wondering if they've kind of addressed that, because there are a few levels where you can sort of choose to an extent, all right, I'll go do this building first, then I'll go over here and do this one. I didn't really run into anywhere it broke like that, so hopefully that is addressed, I think. And the other good thing that I know they've added, just from talking to you, is that... So when you're planning out the sort of arc of your jump or your movement, it will show you where it's moving into like a second turn, which is pretty important, because sometimes you'll want to be landing on the ground rather than being ever so slightly close to landing on the ground, but actually that's going to take another turn. There is a visual indicator for this, which apparently there didn't used to be, which...
No.
Quite hard, I think.
Previously, you could just see the jump arc and you'd kind of have to guess at whether your turn was going to end in midair or not.
That would have been quite annoying.
I got used to it pretty quickly, honestly, but, you know, I didn't really have an alternative.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, now it shows you, so that's good.
Yep.
It's a game that is mostly this combat mechanic, quite honestly, because of how light it is on plots and everything else. But, you know, it's pretty short. It's like 5 or 6 hours long, a little bit more if you want to do New Game Plus as well. And, you know, that combat system doesn't outstay its welcome. It expands as well as you pick up skill points. You get extra special ninja powers. Like, towards the end, you can literally teleport to an opponent and knock them down if you have a big enough combo. That's important, actually. You build up your combo meter by knocking enemies down and killing them. And if you get your combo to 5, you can then basically take a free turn, which can be extremely useful for getting you out of trouble sometimes, because you can go, oh, well, if I do this and this, then I'll get a freebie turn so I can kill that guy before anyone can shoot me, etc. The skills are part of that combo system. So if you've reached like two or three marks on the combo thing, you can then toss out some shuriken while in midair and knock a few people out, buying yourself some time, which is also very useful. And yeah, I quite like all of this. So the slight problem is that the skill points are tied to completing all the objectives on the level, and those objectives are always don't raise the alarm, kill all the enemies, and don't harm any civilians. And the not harming civilians and an alarm one are pretty tied together, because if the civilians ever see you, then they're going to raise the alarm. So then you either have to let them do that or kill them, in which case you failed one or the other of those things, and then you won't get your skill point. And basically it's telling you now you should reload and make sure you do this level properly. And some of the civilian stealthy sections are a little bit annoying. They have sort of, much like you were talking about with the Batman Predator areas, they kind of have one solution, really. And it's a bit jarring, because you go from this pretty free-form combat where you're free to dynamically approach it basically how you want, to all of a sudden, oh, there's like this kind of not quite forced stealth bit, but you kind of are forced, because you definitely want to be upgrading your skills. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I thought I could approach this stealth bit this way, but I can't. The only way to do it is like this. That's kind of annoying. It's not terrible. It's just a bit of a gameplay mechanical swerve, I guess. Some people will probably not even notice it and probably think it's totally fine and not care, but it just annoyed me a little bit.
That's actually reminded me of something about Batman, which is completely unrelated to this, and I have
There's
no idea.
There's something about Batman.
What is one of the new things they added was something called Fear Takedown, which is something you can use in Predator mode, and it basically lets you take down, once you upgrade it, 5 people at once.
Wow.
Yeah, as long as you can sort of approach people undetected, then you use that, and because his new bat suit is so amazing, he can move so quickly that before people shoot him, he can punch out 5 people. And that, again, makes the Predator sections a little bit too easy, except for the ones that are very clearly puzzle sections.
Yeah, where it kind of, to me, that says that the level designers were like, oh shit, we've made some of these a bit easy, we should do some hard ones where you can't just use these skills.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what I was saying about how I didn't die very much, because with all of the new toys that you have, you've kind of got a lot of ways to approach any situation except for the puzzly ones and maybe the very final firefighter one, which was also a bit tricky because there were like 18 guards. I have another question about Ronan, actually. Can you hide in mud?
I haven't seen any mud, so even if you could, there isn't a chance to do that, so no.
The reasoning behind that, there was, and if anyone actually recognises this before I say it, well done. I've always had an eye for slightly naff translations. I think it was Shinobi 3 had an intro sequence that was presumably meant to sound really cool and amazing, and it goes, he is stronger than steel and moves faster than a whirlwind. Sometimes he hides in mud.
Well,
ever since then, anything with ninjas, it's got to have the ability to hide in mud.
You can sort of hide on ceilings and
hand. Are they mud ceilings?
No, they aren't.
Fucking rubbish.
And these buildings have a lot of glass windows around the place, much like the buildings in Gunpoint. It's very irresponsible, because it means lots of people can be knocked out of the windows to their death.
And then you've got the samurai who quite like to charge out of them by themselves.
Yes, those are great. They're kind of annoying when there isn't a nearby window, but when there is a nearby window, it's great, because you just stand near one. They zoom towards you and then go, oh, shit, I've ended my trajectory outside a building. It's bad news for me. Yeah, so Ronin, all right. It, you know, owes quite a few things to those other games that we've mentioned, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
I also think that it manages to distinguish itself a bit. It kind of takes ideas from others and creates something of its own.
Yeah.
And it's, how much is it again? It's like a tenner, something like that? It's, maybe a bit cheaper?
It's like $13 in America land, so yeah.
Probably about 10 quid, 9 quid, something like that.
That's a good price point for it, I would say.
I would agree.
Yeah.
That price point, I would say it's probably worth a punt if it sounds at all interesting.
I also played Into the Stars, which I'm not going to talk about because we've talked a lot. But I wrote a preview of it, and that's on the site. You can go and have a look. It's going into early access for a little bit in July, so it's not quite finished yet. But yeah.
They say it's not going to be in early access for very long. They said it was a very limited early access period.
I mean, from what I played, it was pretty finished. So other than taking feedback on bits and pieces, that's probably all they're going to do, to be honest. Right. What else? Well, I'm going on holiday, so I don't know what's coming up on the site this week. Sorry.
No, neither do we. That's the thing.
Well, you're going on holiday, and I'm having a nervous breakdown.
I've only gone for like...
How long are you on holiday for, Peter?
Until next... Well, I'm back on next Monday, but it's Monday night, so next Tuesday, basically.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep, it's a whole week, Tim.
You're leaving the site to me for a week?
I wrote some things. I wrote some things, but then we used them on the site. My plan was that they were going to be for when I was away, but then they went instead.
I've written at least one thing, and there are several more things I can write, so we've got things.
This podcast is going to be another of those things. So there you go.
Excellent. I wrote a thing about Heroes of the Storm, so we can use that at some point. There's probably some other things that I've forgotten about.
So next week's podcast could be interesting, because I'm not going to know anything about PC gaming news.
Oh, Tim, just think what we can make up.
Yes, I was about to say that. Let's lie.
Can we? Yeah, we should do that. You should, like, someone else can just do news at me, and I will try and discern whether they're true.
Yes. Didn't we used to do that? Something like that.
We sort of.
Are we going to have, like, Chris Roberts lose his $84 million in poker game or something?
That's not true. That one's a lie. See, I'm not practicing already.
It wouldn't matter. He'd make it back in, like, a week from people buying ships for a game that isn't out.
Like, guys, I'm sorry. I'm in the hole with some Las Vegas mobsters, but...
Big Vinny's not happy with me, guys.
But so that I'm not beholden to a publisher anymore, please give me money. anyway. So, yeah, things will be happening on the site, but not with me, because I won't be there. I'm doing other stuff.
Well, Tim, we're doomed. We're doomed.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I could write a review of the wedding I'm going to, if you like. Shall I do that?
I want you to do that, Peter. And what I want you to focus on, you to focus on the fashion. This can be our start as the PC site that analyzes fashion.
Well, I'll be interested in the fashion. I had to buy a suit for this. Like, I didn't own a suit previously, but now I do.
I want photos.
I'm sure there'll be photos happening.
I want photos. Yeah, but I'm not on Facebook or anything like that, so you're going to have to send me photos of you in a suit at a wedding.
Fine.
And then I'll upload them to PC Invasion.
I think you should just turn up in a Batman costume.
Because Peter, sure. this is what happens when you leave the bunker. You get exposed.
You get exposed to society.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried about that, frankly. I'm not ready.
I haven't seen another living human being for 2 years.
And while you're out, we're running short of food, so you might want to stuff some rats in your pockets.
Okay. Yeah, get some animals for us. We can start a zoo.
I'll see what I can snag. I don't think there's going to be live animals at any of the things I'm going to, but you never know. I'll be in Denver for the last part, and that's got a zoo. Maybe I could steal some of their animals. I don't think they'd be very happy about that.
Tim immediately goes out and looks what animals are at Denver Zoo and puts a shopping list together.
Well, they're all sorts. Like big cats, penguins, you know, the works. Right.
I'm hearing there was a circus. It was a terrible circus. It promised all sorts of stuff. And I can't remember what they actually had. I do remember that the lion tamers they promised were actually just some children in a cage with some small cats, and they used children because it made the cats look bigger by comparison.
That's like Father Ted, you know, the mansion, where it's the fairground and the cats on the turntable.
Yeah.
Let's end this podcast.
No, it's great. We've come full circle because I started with like circus references and we've ended with them as well. This is like a proper filmmaking technique where you end with the same shot that you started with. I'm really pleased.
Are we professional now?
Yeah, we are. But quick, let's end it. Thank you for listening to this amazing production. Back next week where I won't know very much about what's going on. Goodbye.
I also won't know very much about what's going on, but that's pretty much par for the course.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And silent, under the dawn of that last great day.
Oh, we should get Nick Cave on the podcast.
I'd love to get Nick Cave on the podcast. I don't know how much PC gaming he does, but...
He probably doesn't do any, but I want him on the podcast anyway.
How disappointed would you be if it turns out he plays mobile games?
Quite disappointed. No, you know what would be worse? Is if he comes on and he starts talking about how great League of Legends is, I'd get into a massive argument with Nick Cave.
I would be alright with that. I think that would be good listening.